Well, I too greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be together here again this morning. You know, by coming together, we show each other faith in God. How would it be if we showed up this morning and there was only a handful of people here? And we know all these other people that chose to do something else. And the biggest reason they chose to do something else would have been because, well, they didn't really believe in God. You know, that would be pretty discouraging this morning if we were sitting here. So by being here and by spending time here, we are in action without saying anything. We're showing to each other that I believe in God and I'm here because I want to worship God and I want God to speak to me this morning. Maybe we can all stand and we'll just have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do stand before you this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for putting us here with a group of people that wants to follow you, wants to trust in you. And Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that we can receive from each other, the encouragement that we have received in the songs that were sung this morning, for giving us a heart of worship towards you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the newness of life that we can experience in you this morning, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of the times that we have fallen short. We know that we can experience forgiveness, and we thank you. Lord, I thank you for the word that was shared with us here this morning already. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply those things to our lives, that we would take those things home and allow you to make us into the people that you want us to be. I pray this morning that as we look into your word, Father, that you would have your way. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You know the hurts maybe that we carry, or discouragements or whatever they might be, Lord. Or if we're here zealous, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to each one of us and that you would have your way. And Lord, we desire that you would receive all the honor and glory. We just want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we've already been shown this morning by the different things that were shared, what faith looks like and what it looks like if we're living in our own strengths. And something that stood out to me especially was when Melvin was up and opening the service there and mentioned Jonah there. You know, we see if we go back to the first chapter there, and we see when God spoke to Jonah, that Jonah responded not in faith, But instead, Jonah responded in his flesh. He was a man of God, and God was speaking to him. But Jonah, when he realized the assignment that God was giving him, he remembered those people. And he remembered all the terrible things that can happen there and the evilness of that place. And he chose to trust in himself. And it's like, I'm out of here. And we also see his actions in faith. And this morning I would like to just look at faith. I would like for us to be reminded of what faith looks like. And I think Melvin gave us a really good picture in just a couple of verses there what that looks like. And so when we think about faith and how it carries us, and when we're trusting in God, the power that we have and the places that we go when our hearts are turned towards Him and we are given assignments in this life, and we realize that they're big assignments. But when we have our eyes focused on Jesus, the one that is sending us, where it will take us. And so it is important for us to be reminded of, to remind ourselves the times that we had faith, the times that we saw other people taking action, believing in God, and allowing God to have His way. When we think about faith, and we think about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 there, it tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When Jonah went the second time to preach to these people, did he know the evidence? Did he know what was going to take place when he went in faith? The first time, I believe he didn't go because in his mind, he had a good idea of what might happen. But the second time, he chose to go and give God an opportunity and allow God to speak to these people. When we have faith in God, it means that we trust Him. And we know when we trust Him, it means that we realize that He's going to keep His end of the deal. Sometimes we, when we think of faith and life, and we think of ourselves in that, we think about our feelings, we think about things that need to happen. And maybe we even put our plans in that, and we put a lot of trust, and we think, this is what faith looks like, and this is what needs to happen. And we, you know, it's this person that has a lot of zeal, and, you know, I'm going to make this happen. And then it doesn't play out that way, and we feel disappointed by, well, it didn't work. It didn't go the way, you know, I believed, and I did everything I could do, But it didn't play out that way. And so we find ourselves disappointed and maybe even let down. But I don't think that, you know, maybe we didn't really understand what God was wanting to do, and rather we were running out there trying to accomplish something in our own understanding, in our own strengths. When we think about real faith, we think about that we know a God that is real and that He is in control. And we think about this, we think of my life in His hands. And so when we have given our lives to Him, and we have submitted our lives into His hands, my life surrendered, my will surrendered to Him, we don't have to make it happen. And when we're there, we don't have to fear that it's going to turn out okay. I don't have to make it happen. Is that maybe where the different people that we see in God's word that fell short, is that what Jonah tried to do the first time around when God spoke to him? He was looking at the big picture there, and it's like, I need to make it happen. But he couldn't. And so he became fearful. We can relax and we can just rest in God when we come to the understanding that God is using me as an instrument, and that He wants to work through me. But I'm not the one that has to make it happen. I'm not the one that's going to change hearts. I'm going to give the message. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And when we have this understanding that God is the one that's going to soften hearts, and God is the one that is going to bring hearts to Himself. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. When we understand who we are and how God views us, and that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, it gives us a heart of peace. And, you know, if God looks us as such, then and we recognize ourselves to be in the hands of this God, you know, why wouldn't we bring praise to Him and trust Him? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 there, it talks about faith. And it tells us here in these verses that faith is precious, that it is more precious than gold, faith that is tried and that is proven. You know, when we look at something that we value, You know, whether it's gold coins or whether it's something that has, in our minds, has a lot of value. And we make sure we take care of that. We set it in special places and we don't just trample over it. God tells us here that a faith that is tried and proven, that it is more precious than these things. Things that we put value on has, you know, faith in God. A trusting faith is very valuable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it reminds us that we're not supposed to be walking by sight, but we're to walk by faith. How does Hebrews 11, verse 1 describe faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we need to have our rest, our trust in the Lord. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, going down to verse 4, starting in verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." As we have received Christ, you know, we're called so to walk in him, to establish our faith. And as these things work out in our lives, the end of verse 7 there tells us that we're to abound with thanksgiving, to be, you know, as we see God working, it brings joy to our hearts, and it just comes out of our lives. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." In Mark chapter 1, just like to turn there and just look at this account here. Going down to verse 40. Here, someone that was sick, a leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." We see a man of faith here coming to Jesus. Looking for another opportunity to live life. Wanting to be healed. We see his faith in action here. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. In chapter 2, if we go down to... in chapter 2 here, starting in verse 4, we see a group of people coming to Jesus with a sick person. And when they, in verse 4, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. An account here of friends that had faith in Jesus. They personally weren't in need of being healed here, but they had a friend that was. And because of their faith, because of taking action and saying, you're sick, Jesus can heal you. And they took the time and came to where Jesus was, and they overcame the obstacles that were in the way of coming to Jesus. You know, they came here, there was a crowd of people, and you know, when you want to find someone and there's lots of people and they're all wanting a piece of him, it's like, wow, how do we get from here to there? Carrying a sick person. And it would have been easy for them to say, you know, it's like, today's not a good day for this. You know, Jesus is busy teaching and he probably doesn't really care. You know, it would be easy for us to come to that conclusion. But they pressed through. And so we see, you know, as a friend, when we believe and trust and know and we take action, the difference that it can make in someone else's life. It isn't only just for us, but when we live this out, it will make the difference in others. We, as a people, as we live this out, you know, not only do I receive strength, but you do as well. And so let's remember this as we live this life, that it's not just about me. It's about my people. In John chapter 21, we see Jesus having a conversation with Peter. And Jesus asked Peter there, I think in somewhere around verse 15, if he loved him. And Peter's answer was, yes. And Jesus asked him three times there that question. And it seems like Jesus wanted to make sure that he really was on board. You know, sometimes when people ask us a question and we give the answer that we know they want, and so we process the question, it's like, well, here's the right answer, yes. And but if they ask us the question the second time and the third time, it makes us think a little bit deeper. Do I really? Am I giving the answer from my heart when we, you know, when we go through the motions the second time? And then again the third time, it's like, we really understand the question. And Jesus seems to be wanting to make sure. We turn to Hebrews chapter 11 there, and we're just going to look at this chapter here and read down through here and just look at some of these accounts here. In verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. And as we continue reading this chapter, we see we are reminded again and again of people, men of God, that believed and trusted. And we see their actions still speaking to us today. When we think about faith, you know, sometimes in our minds we have a picture painted of when I trust God and I'm living like this, that life is going to go a certain way. And wonderful things are going to happen. And we can see down through here that in many cases, there was life-changing experiences. But the piece that we sometimes forget is, it's not necessarily a bed of roses. It's not an easy life. And we see many people stepping into this chapter and it's like, this is going to be my life. This is what I want. I want to serve God this way. And they have a picture in their mind, I believe, in times of how this is going to look and feel and be. And then things start happening. And they don't like what is happening. And in times, people turn away and say, you know, God wasn't faithful. And they say all these things. I'd like to look at, in verse 4 here, we see Abel here, he came, you know, and he offered a sacrifice to God that was pleasing to him. It brought honor and glory to him. When we bring something to God in our lives, and it pleases the Lord, and if our life ended the way Abel's life ended here, you know, do you think Abel was expecting to be treated this way? Was he expecting his brother to come against him because his sacrifice, his offering to God was more acceptable than his brother Cain? We see Abel's life is still speaking to us today because of his trust in God. Yet, you know, because he was true and faithful, his life came to an end. I'm sure that wasn't part of Abel's plan. And how often when we step out in trusting God and in living the way Abel was, things take place that we weren't planning for. Hard things. People coming against us. People not understanding. In some cases, we're fighting the enemy of our soul, and he's trying to, you know, the good things that are happening and trying to destroy those things. You know, Noah, he started a project that God gave to him. One project. He told him to build this ark. And I can only imagine that as God gave him this project of building this huge ship that was away from the water, and it was huge. The people that were looking on, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you building this big ship? Are you out of your mind? There's no way that this thing's going to float. You can't even get it there. And 20 years goes by, and he continues ministering to the people, telling them about what's going to take place, hiring people to build this building, this ship, continuing to warn them about destruction that is coming. And we see that in the end, only his family was willing to go on board this ship. Nobody else believed him. We don't see Noah quitting. He continued for however many years it took to build this ark. And he was faithful. And when we think about and we see the faith of these people, what carried them through? 70 years on a project that everybody's making fun of you. Nobody believes. Only your family is willing to go on board. And then you sit in this ark with the doors closed for, I think it was like 7 days, and nothing was happening. You know, what carried Noah and his family through in this time where everybody rejected their message? I believe that it was a trust in God, knowing that God was true, and believing his word. In spite of the opposition that they saw and felt, you know, Abraham was willing to go on a trip because God told him it was time to pull up roots and to move, not knowing where he was going. Days and weeks of travel, of not knowing where the end is going to be. As I was pondering that, you know, looking at these men of God, thinking about our own lives, it's a little bit how life is. We're young. We have lots of energy. We have dreams. Some of our dreams come to pass. Some of them don't. We go places that we weren't planning on going. Some of them are wonderful experiences. Some of them are very difficult. Friends come and friends go. We have friends that let us down. We have parents that pass away and move on. It's the journey of life. We dream of a life when we visualize our life. We want a life that is easy, a life that is fun. We desire to have a life with, we avoid struggles. We don't enjoy disappointments. We have a promise that in heaven there's not going to be tears. You know, the life that we dream of, that we visualize, isn't a life for here. We will have joy in the Lord. We will experience peace in Him and strength. We can move forward when we when we walk beside Jesus and allow Him to give us strength. As we looked in Hebrews chapter 11 here, and if we read through the whole chapter here, we see all kinds of things taking place. We see people standing for Jesus and choosing to walk with God's people instead of the world. And we go down to verse 25 in this chapter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, that's the life that Noah chose. There was wickedness all around. And the life of walking with God meant the choices that they made. The people weren't willing to listen. The people weren't willing to follow. And so, you know, it's not the easy road. It was the road of walking with God, just like we see here. Verse 25 here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So as we looked at these verses here and were reminded of faith, I'd like for us to just think about the experiences that we've had with God in faith. In, you know, here we're reminded of of the faith that these men had. They weren't in our lifetime. But we are reminded time and time again of these different men in God's word and how faith carried them. And we draw strength and courage from that. But when we are reminded and see faith in action in our days, in our times, and when we go back and remember, it's like, oh yeah, that was God working in my life. I remember that prayer that I prayed, and I saw that prayer being answered. And I know that it shouldn't have gone that way, but it was the hand of God. When we remember those times and we see other people around us experiencing those things and living in those things, it gives us courage, and we're ready to move forward. This week, forget, it was just a couple of days ago, my parents in New York were sitting in their home in the evening, 9, 10 o'clock, and they heard some noise outside, a little puppy barking that wasn't their own. And it's like, oh, somebody's outside. What's going on? They turn the light on, and their vehicle drives off. One of their own vehicles, and went flying out across the yard, gone. And I was talking to my mom, and she's like, well, we pray that God would protect us every day and that he would keep his hand over our lives, over the possessions that God has entrusted to them. And someone steals our vehicle. Where's God at? And so they were sitting there, and obviously the police came, and they went through all of that, and they started putting pieces together. And then my parents said, well, you know, we could pray that God would return our vehicle. It seems like, wow, you know, yeah, we would like to think that, but it's like an old minivan. In this day and age of all the crimes that are going on, what's the chances of getting my vehicle back, like, soon? And so they prayed that, and, you know, the night wore on. And later on that night, like 1 o'clock in the morning or somewhere in that time frame, they get a phone call, and it's like, we found your vehicle. It was a couple towns over, and they found whoever these young people were off, you know, got in a fight or something with some other people, and the police were on the lookout for this vehicle, and it matched up, and it was like, here it is, safe and sound. You know, the brakes were maybe not working and a few things, but, you know, does God care about a minivan? The minivan isn't so important to God. But God cares about my parents. And God cares about you. God wants to build your faith in him. And so, you know, who of us wants to go through thinking about people snooping around our place and stealing our stuff and running off with our things that we call our own. You know, it's not something we necessarily enjoy. It's not something we want. But when we see these things happening in our lives and we turn them over to God and we recognize God's hand at work, what does it do to us? It speaks to our hearts. It makes us realize that I can talk to God. I can trust Him. And that He cares about me. So it does our hearts good to see God working in our brothers' lives. It does our hearts good to remember the times that we entrusted our lives to Him. And we ventured out not knowing how the future was going to play out and seeing God's hand at work. It is good for us to remember those things. Just like in Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter, I believe, was written for us to just be reminded of men and women that had faith and saw God working in their lives and how that actually plays out. You know, it's not always from the flesh point of view, it's not always a pleasant experience. But from God's point of view, it's wonderful when we see God's hand in it. So let's take courage. Let's continually remind ourselves, you know, what faith looks like and God working in our lives. And when we see that and are reminded of that, that we can take courage to move forward. In closing here, just like to leave us with a verse here in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. May the Lord bless.